Welcome to The Rework with Allison Tyler Jones, a podcast dedicated to inspiring portrait photographers to uniquely brand, profitably price, and confidently sell their best work. Allison has been doing just that for the last 15 years, and she's proven that it's possible to create unforgettable art and run a portrait business that supports your family and your dreams. All it takes is a little rework. Episodes will include interviews with experts from in and outside of the photo industry, mini workshops, and behind-the-scenes secrets that Allison uses in her portrait studio every single day. She will challenge your thinking and inspire your confidence to create a profitable, sustainable portrait business you love through continually refining and reworking your business. Let's do the rework.
Have you ever heard the expression, don't let the door hit your bum on the way out? Okay, that probably sounds really weird, but we are this close to closing the doors on our Cash to Confidence Bootcamp, and I don't want you to miss out. Honestly, I think your bum's probably starting to hurt because of all the fence sitting that you're doing. But for real, if you're sitting there walking your dog on the treadmill, trying to decide on whether or not to fork over a measly $47 for a game-changing week with us, or if you're all up in your head thinking, how can I charge more, make more money in this business when my work isn't as good as I want it to be, and I don't know where to find great clients, and know this, you don't have to have it all figured out in order to get started. In fact, that's the whole idea of the Confidence to Cash Bootcamp. Throughout our week together, I'm going to walk you through expanding your vision of what's possible for you, laying the foundation for rock solid confidence in the value that you bring, crafting a clear message that will attract the right best clients for your business, mapping out your money that you want to make and how to get there, and creating a step-by-step ideal sale that will have your clients digging for their credit card. And yes, you'll be able to do this, even if your name isn't Annie Leibovitz and you haven't won a single image competition. Get off your cute little bum and go to dotherework.com/bootcamp. Get the details, sign up, and I'll see you there. Hi, friends, and welcome back to The Rework. Today's episode taps into a problem that I think many of you are struggling with, and I know that I have struggled with for sure. And that is the idea of how do we make everyone happy? Of course, the customer is always right. Of course, we want our clients to be thrilled. So we want to do more and more and more for them. Every year, we want to up the ante. We want to make their experience better. There's just a push to always do more. But is that the better way? Is that really going to make everyone happy? Well, of course, if you've done any therapy at all, you know that it's not possible to make everybody happy, but it makes for a catchy podcast title. So without further ado, we are going to jump into our conversation with Miss Catherine Langford and talking about how can we make our clients happy and some ways that maybe we try to that actually backfire. Let's do it. Okay, well, today it's been a little while since we've had one of our very, very favoriteest guests ever from up north in Vancouver.
It has been a little while. I've missed you.
I know. I've missed you too. So I'm so glad to have you back because we have just not had enough business conversations in our drive because now my drive is shorter and now you're busy with this incredible love life that you have going on, coming back and forth from Antigua and your fabulous life. And so here we are, we're going to just record our business conversation. But what we're going to talk about today is how to make everyone happy. Just kidding, you can't. And what you and I as women in business for 20 plus years have learned the hard way that you cannot please everyone, even though we still try.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So one of the things that you said before we got on the call, I think is where we need to start. And that is being open to realizing that we aren't for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, we have our ideal clients that are, you know, we've talked about the criteria that makes an ideal client. You know, they communicate well, they spend, you know, in the bracket that we want them to spend. They're very easy to make happy. It's just a pleasure to work with them. And then there's people that aren't perfect for us. You know, maybe because they are wanting something that we don't offer, maybe because we're priced out of their bracket, even though they're maybe in denial of that or not willing to learn enough about our pricing that they know that. Or maybe for me, what happens most often is people like what they see and they want what I have, but they maybe don't like the whole package, meaning they don't like the idea of putting art on their wall. They want a collection of digital files.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they sort of want to do something really fast and on the fly, whereas my service is something that you need to prepare for, you know, get the clothes thought out and, you know, figure out the art plan. And these people maybe just want something that's really quick. They can run in tomorrow at noon and have it done. So even though there's a temptation to just say, okay, I'll just do it. I need the money. I need the work. I always regret that because when it's not a good match, it shows up in many different ways and it makes things hard. And in a worst case scenario, makes the client unhappy. And I never
want it. Right. Exactly. And I think that is overarching. That's the point, is that in trying to make everyone happy, you actually damage your reputation and have people go away mad. And so let's dig into that a little bit more, starting with, you know, kind of going back a little bit to that not everybody's your client. Now, the hard thing about this is, especially when you're newer in business or you're heading into a slower time, you feel like, look, I can't afford to have these kind of scruples. Like, I got to just take what comes because I got to pay the bills, right?
Yep.
Okay. So to speak to that fear.
Yeah. I mean, that's happened many times. I just think, okay, I'm just going to make something up. They want me to put their baby in a basket and have like some reindeer behind them and, you know, bring like 200 candy canes in here for their holiday card. I'll just do it. I'm not busy and I need the money. But I mean, in that sort of scenario, which by the way has never happened, but you know,
yeah,
similar.
Just say that. Say that. Yeah. Say that.
Yeah. In that sort of scenario, I mean, I would be creatively bankrupt and also just not able to serve them well. I don't have passion for that kind of work. I can't make it look cute. I don't even know what we're doing.
Right. Right. So they're not going to be happy and you're not going to be happy. And it's just like lose, lose all the way. And then because of all that, they're not going to spend as they might. So okay, let's go back to the idea of like this ideal client and this perfect client. Well, we all know that like we have a handful, right? That are just delightful.
Wish we could clone them.
Wish we could clone them. Yep. And then there's kind of middle of the world, like, you know, spend well, are easy to deal with, but you know,
reliable.
Yeah. Yep. And then there's always going to be some that you thought were going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that kind of, you know, through life events or whatever might become difficult.
Or I just made up in my mind that they were okay, even though they're not, you know, like I told myself they were okay because of the neighborhood they lived in, or because they were best friends with a great client, or because they said all the right things, even though they haven't acted that way. They said something different than what they did, you know,
which is what we call what? Red flags. We ignored red flags.
Those are red flags that I ignored. And now I have them on my client roster.
Okay. So let's talk about some of those red flags. What are the red flags for you? Because every year I just feel like I want to refine my process more and more so that I don't have people like that come into my business. Because again, neither of us end up happy at the end of it. So what are those red flags for you?
Well, for me, there's a million red flags for me. I mean, off the top of my head, we're building a house right now and we don't want anything for the walls. We just want to have photos taken just to have that line.
Okay.
Just to have.
Just meaning, to have. Okay.
Meaning we want them archived somewhere where we never do anything with them, but we want to know we took them. That's a red flag for me. Red flag might be, I don't need to talk to my husband about it. He's cool with whatever I do. I'll just handle this myself. Meaning this person is walking into a situation where we're talking about fine art and home decor, and she's telling me that like, it's no problem that her husband knows nothing about it. I know that's a problem, but you know,
anyway.
That's for another podcast.
That's a good one. Yeah. Well, okay. And then Also, like, I think, you know, some of the, one of the terms I use is like minimizing language. If somebody's really talking about like it's obvious from your website and the Instagram and how you're talking to them, what you're letting them know that you, you know, for us, it's what we specialize in wall art for your walls or custom designed albums. And they're like, yeah, you know, we really don't put pictures on our walls and we hate albums. And I see, like, I see that you do mostly studio, but really I would like you to come to my house and do us in our backyard. So it's like, yeah, they've just said like three things that I don't do.
And I think what we'll probably want is just a couple of 5x7s for the mantle.
Mm-hmm. Or just the holiday cards.
Yeah. Yeah. We just want a card. So yeah, those are red flags. And then there's also the context of, you know, like the way that I work. Like I work in a studio, black and white, and I, you know, shoot a certain way. Like, and so when people are meaning like a certain style, right?
Yes.
So my style is very like cuddled up and all about love and
organic. I think your style is so organic.
But when people want something that's totally different from that, yeah, you know, we really love color. Is there any way you could shoot color for us? And maybe you can just do a couple in color. Like, they, I don't know why they're calling me, you know, but sometimes I have deluded myself into thinking, yeah, okay, I'll just do that. Thinking that, you know, the rest of what I do will appeal to them and they'll end up coming along with how I like to work. But that's just a bad way to start off. Because what I really need to do is see them for who they are. They're telling me who they are.
Yeah.
They're showing me exactly who they are. They want color. They want 5x7s. They want me to shoot in the backyard. They want, you know, they want things that I don't do and that I don't want to do. And really, I should not be going any further, except to educate them as to what I do. You know, like telling them, well, you know, here's a little bit about how I work. Blah, 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 blah. I work with an end in mind. I specialize in a finished fine art product. And if once I start telling people those things, they still go back to, well, yeah, oh, that sounds good. Maybe later we would order something like that. Right now, all I want is a 5x7 for the mantle. Then I need to listen to what they're telling me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whereas a better outcome is when I educate them in that way and explain what it is I do and the way that I work. And they say, oh, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know that, you know, like maybe they didn't know photographers work that way, or they'd never thought of their family as fine art in their home in a large scale format, but they love that idea.
Right.
And that can be great. But I need to listen to what they're saying.
Exactly. And so I think in this beginning process, when the client first comes, you know, that first phone call, that first contact, you're kind of teetering, right? You're listening, you're paying attention for red flags, but you don't write people off at the first red flag, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not this like, oh, well, you're just not my client and you're dismissing people. You're listening and you're making note, okay, they seem pretty price sensitive. They seem like they really want stuff that I don't do. But then as you start to explain it, like you say, if they're coming along and like, oh, I didn't even know that was a thing. Actually, I really do love black and white. Actually, I really do want to put stuff on my wall. Then they can become a client. And if we dismiss them at the first red flag, then that would have been a huge error, right? But very often, that's not what I find that photographers are doing. Very often what I find that they're doing is they're like the needy seventh grader girl who wants a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And doesn't believe when this guy is a total jerk, like this relationship 101.
Like thinks he's going to come around.
Yeah. He ain't coming around, you know? And so you actually ignore all the red flags. And like you said, to your example, I just want the 5x7 for the mantle. And what do we think? We think, okay, I know she thinks she just wants the 5x7 for the mantle, but what she really, when she sees what I can do for her, and when she's all these 100 images of her kids and I get her in that room and they told me, I've heard other photographers, if they cry, they buy, then she won't be able to help but want to buy all of them.
Yeah. Which was my business model at the beginning of my business.
Yeah.
And probably
sometimes it happens.
Worked quite well. I don't know, maybe 50% of the time, but the other 50% clients felt taken advantage of, felt railroaded, felt frustrated, didn't come back. You know, like that just wasn't, that's not a way that I work anymore.
I agree. I love that. So being transparent up front, letting them know paying attention to the red flags. What about the idea of why do we talk ourselves out of our intuition? Like when we have that gut feel, have you done that?
Yeah. I mean, usually it's fear about money.
Yeah.
You know, I need the money, so I'll just do it.
Yeah.
And so many times, I mean, I've learned from this, but I, you know, probably will do it again sometime. But I mean, so many times I realized like this wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
You know, this like entering into a situation that's not the way I work with a client that's not suited for my service is always a mistake. It's always frustrating. And as I said before, the worst case scenario is the client ends up unhappy, which I never want to see happen.
I do think it is fear-based that, you know, or you think maybe they don't realize how great it's really going to be.
Yeah.
You know, but it's
and
like,
again, I got to listen to them. I have to listen to what they're saying. They're saying they don't want what I offer. So I can't rely on the hope that they're going to decide that they want it later.
Right. Right. What about money? What about that red flag of price sensitivity? Like to me, I found that very binary. Like most people, when they call for a new service that they're unaware of, they don't know the questions to ask. So we might think that they're super price sensitive because they're only asking about money, but it's because they don't really know what else to ask. That's not necessarily a red flag for me right in the beginning. But if they keep beating the budget drum all the way through after I've kind of told them like my range or whatever, you know, like you say, most of our clients spend north of $5,000 and they're like, yeah, but I really only have $1,200 for this project. Mm-hmm. And I really need to be, what can we do for 1200 or whatever, you know, then I know that that's not going to be a good fit. So then I can let them mm-hmm. know that, like, I'm not going to try to get them in for their 1200 session fee and then try to upsell them when they've said over and over and over again that they only have $1,200. It's not fair to them.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. For sure. I think that's a recipe for disaster. I think there are cases where people aren't sure what they want. And mm-hmm. so they're thinking, oh, I just want one piece. Tell me how much one piece is. And then that turns into, you know, a bigger project once we go further with having seen their walls and talking about what kind of art they might want. It can turn into something more. But if they're really clear with a hard line budget right from the beginning, I can't count on that becoming anything else.
Okay, I have another thought. So one of the things that I've noticed with some of our students in like Mindshift or with the Art of Selling Art course that tends to be really common, and I remember doing this when I earlier in my career, is that feeling like you need to kind of give stuff away or discount things to make people happy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well,
do you think
I
that works?
So I gave client gifts. I did part of my service for free. I would, you know, like I wouldn't charge for installation. I wouldn't charge for delivery. I didn't even build it into my pricing. Like now I don't charge extra for it, but it's built in. Absolutely. I would give things away. If people wanted to buy one 8x10, I would say something like, okay, well, if you buy two, then I'll give you the third free. Like I would do things like that to sort of as a sales technique, but also just to make them happy, you know,
yeah.
Like giving them little gifts. In some ways that backfired. Something I used to give is like these little books. Mm-hmm. It was like a little tiny album that was like 2x3 inches that they could keep in their wallet. And my rationale was that that would be, you know, a good marketing piece that they'd show to their friends. However, what I learned over time when people would come back after years and ask if I was still doing them is that people were like enjoying their portraits that way in mm-hmm. place of buying portraits for the wall.
Right.
So something I've learned is never, you know, now I will give people little social media, like that little app that lives on the phone that you can connect mm-hmm. to social media. I only do that with images that they've already bought for the wall. Whereas before I would, you know, oh, they love this one, but they didn't pick it. So I'm going to like make a little set of cards and give it to them. Like giving away things like that was really shooting myself in the foot. And sure, of course they appreciated it, but that's not, you know, that was really taking money out of my own pocket, basically.
Right. And I do think that it devalues how special,
yes.
you know, what it is that you're doing. Like if you're going to gift a client, to me, it's you're not gifting the work. You know, you're gifting them, you know, like some photographers will give them a bottle of wine at the installation or champagne or whatever, or you know, a nice candle or some kind of gift that way. But the work, they're contracting you to do the work. You know, it's just like if you had Van Gogh paint your family or whatever, and he's like, oh, I noticed that I did these couple extra paintings for you. Like, that's ridiculous. It would never happen. Or my sister, I designed a couple of extra rooms for you just, you know, for you to have.
It's really good for you to put it that way because that's how ridiculous it is. We're giving away a photography product I don't even know why I would do it.
That was such a thing for a while. I remember we were doing those too, those little tiny albums, and they were a pain in the butt to order, to put together. Like, they were not an easy thing, you know? And so
people love them so much, they still ask for them.
Yeah. No, they just
love them. The thing I used to do, which is so horrible, I hope nobody's doing this anymore, probably not, is I used to give a box of 4x6 proofs with the order.
Yeah.
Because my thought was, you know, like, this was back when there was nothing digital, right? So the way I showed people photos was 4x6 proofs, and we spread them out and look at them and choose that way.
Yes.
So I had them anyway. They were already printed. So my feeling was, you know, like, I'm not going to throw them in the garbage. I would just put them in a box and tie them with a bow. So I basically gave them all their photos for free.
Yeah.
And they would come in, you know, if they came back next year or the year after, they would know they're getting those. Yeah. So then that would totally reduce, you know, what they
sale. Yeah. Cause they're like,
if people have a photo to look at, even if it's small, that can replace ordering a big wall piece. Cause in their mind, they have it.
Yeah. They never have to decide. So it just craters your sale. Well, and I think about, like, when my mom, so back in the day when my mom, I was a young child and my mom was having portraits done of our family and how that studio used to work. And I remember she would bring home the proofs. They would let her take home the proofs. They had a watermark on it, but they were also printed on this paper that, like, faded over time or something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what technology that is or how they did it now that I'm thinking about it. But it was like she had to hurry and get back to them and let them know now. And they were doing, these were pictures that were like portraits that she was going to pick one of. So, for example, she photographed each of us at 2 years old and then at 8 years old when we were baptized. And so she had to pick that one portrait, and then they would print it on, like, a fiber-based black and white, and then somebody would go in and oil over the top of it. So it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
And so it was very special. She had to make the decision. She wasn't going to get all of those images. It was a commissioned piece of artwork, and that really stuck with me too. And I think about how we just make it so much less special by just giving so many. Because when you don't have to decide, then you don't have a reason why one's more special than another, you know, and that actually goes back to our really tightly editing your sessions so that you're not showing them too many images as well. Like, you need to really narrow it down so that you're only showing them the best of the best and then going to that creative agenda, right?
Exactly. I don't think it's doing them a favor to show them like 8 different iterations of their kids together sitting in the same spot. Less is more. Really?
It actually waters down everything. And they're not really qualified to decide which one is the best one. You are. And and so it's like maybe 2 or maybe 1.
Maybe two. And sometimes 1. Yeah, for sure.
There's a clear winner.
That change over the years. And that's, I think, makes the images feel more valuable. The other thing I was going to talk about with making everybody happy is, like, aside from the product side of it, just basically even things like, oh, can we come in Wednesday at 4? And being able to say, no, I don't have anything until, like, being really intentional about my schedule, because I have my schedule set up in a really specific way. And part of that is I have specific shooting days. And lots of times people ask for dates that aren't those shooting days. But rather than make my schedule completely haphazard and all over the place for my creative brain, which doesn't handle it well, I tell them, no, I'm not shooting that day. I only have this, this, or this. And so much of the time, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, there may be rare occasions where it's like, oh, I really can't. My husband's a surgeon. He's performing brain surgery from a helicopter. You know, like something that just can't be changed, right?
Over the ocean at midnight with a blue moon.
The same with working weekends. Like, when you and I met, as you know, I worked every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I had little kids at home. It was not easy. I did that because I thought that was serving my clients well. and that would make them happy because I'm working around their schedule. It was thanks to you, you know, showing me the light on that one, that I took that part of my life back. And now rarely do I have people ever book weekends. If they do, they need to pay, you know, quite a high session fee. And I'm happy with that. I probably shoot mm-hmm. 3 weekend days a year, but people ask all the time.
Sure. Sure.
Can we book in on Saturday? And I just say, no, I'm sorry. I don't do Saturdays. And that's it, you know? So again, making everyone happy, we don't have to say yes to everything. We have a certain way that we run our business and it has really good reason. And we don't even really need to explain the reason most times, but people are going to ask because like you said, they don't know. They're just going to ask for stuff. Can you shoot at our house? Can you, you know, that's all the time. So what happens? Do you come to our house and shoot there? No, I have a studio downtown. Oh, okay, great. Like they don't, it's not a deal breaker. They just don't know.
Exactly. And I think when you are a creative and you have that sensitive soul, the fact that it comes out of somebody's mouth feels like it's a command that you have to
fulfill.
Like it's a do or die when really they're just asking. And you can say, and so if you don't want to go to your level of like, no, I don't shoot Saturdays, right? Because you, for the right person or the right situation, you would be willing to do that. So if you don't want to go that far to a no, if you want to say, okay, well, you can still say, one of my favorite things is like, well, tell me more about like a Saturday. Like, what is your scheduling situation? Because what we say a lot is most of our clients find that Saturdays, the weekends are really hard because kids are in sports and it's the only time that you get together as family, you know? And so most of our clients prefer to schedule during the week, you know, either after school or maybe take their kids out of school or on a day when they're have early release or they're out of school so that everybody's fresh and it's not using one of your precious weekend dates. But of course, if we need to shoot on a Saturday, then it's more, you know, and so then you're letting them choose that and self-selecting, but it doesn't mean just because somebody says something out of their mouth that we have to go throw ourselves on an altar and slay ourselves for that.
I think that's like the point of this whole conversation we're having. Just because mm-hmm. someone asks for something doesn't mean that the only way to make them happy is to agree to it.
Right.
It took me a long, long time to figure that out. And in experimenting with saying no, I mean, I don't even really say no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I try to never say the word no.
Right.
I'll say, well, just, you know, following your example, I'll say, well, here's what I can do. Mm-hmm. I can do this. I can do that. I can do this. So in experimenting with like educating people about the way I work and sort of leading them through the way that I run my business instead of them telling me what they need me to do, it's had so many benefits. Like not only are people totally happy to work with the way that I work for the most part, but also it's so much less stressful for me to be going with the flow of my business the way I set it up. Instead of having to do all these things that I don't want to do, I don't really know how to do, I'm not great at, that is a tax on the soul to have to work that way.
Right. And you don't do your best work and you're not your most creative and you're resentful and you have secret hidden resentment that is not so hidden. Like it comes out and the client can feel that. And so you're basically being like sort of like a little withholding passive aggressive jerk to somebody who's paying you money. So that's stupid. When you're in a negative relationship with a client, anything that's going to burn down somebody that is basically supporting your business is really a bad decision. And you think about like, how many times have you called a service and asked somebody for something, you know, a dentist, for example, can I get in and get a cleaning this weekend, you know, this week? I mean, they'd laugh you out of the, okay, we'll try next year. You know, or like I'm dealing with a doctor right now and like, okay, well I can do next Wednesday. No, she's only available on Thursdays for those kinds of appointments. Okay. So I'm making it happen because I want to see her.
It's really good to flip it like that in your mind. Like, what would I do if I called for a service? I think of certain services I work with that are very hard line about the way that they work. And you just accept it. That's just, you know,
insecurity.
You really hate it, you go elsewhere.
Right. But our insecurity tells us the second that we say, you put up one roadblock and say, you know, oh, I can't do that day. We have to do another day. All right, that's it. I don't even want your work anymore. I hate you. And I'm going to tell everybody else that you suck and that they should never go to PBK ever
again. But the other point we have to remember is in being true to ourselves and the way we have our business set up, there are people that are going to say no. There's mm-hmm. definitely people that are going to, you know, they'll say, oh, let me think about it, call you back or whatever. You never hear from right. them. Or worse, even worse, you started working with them and then they back out because mm-hmm. they realize this is not what I thought. Like, for example, people who come to me through an auction or something like that, they're gifted a session and they realize like, oh, this isn't the kind of thing that I, you know, can afford or that I, you know, it's too involved or whatever.
Right.
We need to remember that that's for the best and that there is something I used to tell myself early is there's enough work for everyone. And sometimes that needs to make me, you know, help me to be less competitive minded mm-hmm. because being competitive, I found exhausting and demoralizing. So right. I would tell myself there's enough work for everyone. And that means that sometimes someone else's client calls me up and it's like,
right.
this person isn't for me. This person it should be with somebody else. And that's totally okay. That doesn't mean right. that I'm not wonderful for the people who love me. It means this person like straggled, you know, got through a filter they shouldn't have got through. I don't know how to,
right.
you know, I'm not sure how it happened, but they ended up on the phone with me and it's okay that we both realized that they should probably be on the phone with somebody else.
Right. Right. And I think getting to this point required, you know, so it's like, how do you get to the point then where you have just the very best kinds of clients. And of course, in a given year, you're going to have some that kind of get through that aren't,
yeah.
that kind of drive you crazy. But for the most part, that you have really great clients that do want what you do. They want to do your process. They want to do it the way that you want to do it. They get it. They drunk the Kool-Aid, so to speak, and all that. And so how you do that is that you actually have to have the rules. You have to decide, okay, this is how I want to work. You have to decide what makes you happy mm-hmm. first before you can truly make other people happy. And really, you can't make everybody happy, but you do know the things that you like to do. So for example, in your situation with young kids, working every weekend was not making you happy. Mm-hmm. You know, so the rule was, okay, if I still will shoot on a weekend, but I'm only going to shoot on Saturdays. I'm not shooting Saturday and Sunday. And then the next year it was, okay, now it's going to be double to shoot on Saturday. You know, so there's, it doesn't have to be Band-Aid ripping and everything mm-hmm. is throwing down at the first second. It can be iterative over a period of time. And then, okay, I really don't like shooting on location anymore. I really just love shooting yeah. in my studio. And I really, you know, so filling in the blanks of what it is that makes you happy, spending that time to list of like, how do I want to work and how am I my most creative? How can I give my client the best experience and the best of me? Because we are the product, right? And so if we don't protect the asset, which is us, our brain, our creativity, our eye,
yeah.
it's like stabbing yourself in the eye with a pencil over and over and over again and wondering why you can't see.
100%. And when I go ahead and make the mistake of taking on a client that really I know is not the right one, all my other clients pay for it.
Absolutely.
I'm frustrated. I'm exhausted. I'm spending so much brain time trying to figure out how to work with this person or how to work with this situation or how to fix this issue that I got into because I took this person on. And it's just, I mean, there's a worse case scenario is I need to fire this person, which is really bad, but occasionally yeah. we have to do it. Maybe that's another episode, but yeah. you know, I've gotten myself into situations that I should not have said yes to. And after a while I realized I have to end this because yeah. it's affecting my other clients and it's taking up way too much of my head. There's just,
so
it's just a no-win situation when we try to make people happy that aren't the right people for us.
I love it. Well, I think that's the takeaway for me is just like when I look back and I think, okay, this holiday season of 2020, our past holiday, this will be coming out. This episode will be coming out in early 2025, but we've just come through the holiday season of 2024. And honestly, this has been our most, you know, even though it's people are maximum distracted, it's probably the hardest time ever to be able to get responses from clients. But as far as our process goes, as far as the clients that we have coming in, they just get it. They love what we do. They want what we do. They buy what we do. So we deliver it. It's just easy. And it requires less people, less employees. And it's just like, it's almost like it's everything's on skids. Like, you know, it's work what we do for sure. But when you are in a shoot with somebody who just, you know, is so excited to work with you, they love the way that you shoot. So for you, you know, they love the cuddled up. They love the, you know, for me, they love that their kids are being naughty and crazy. And then they want, I'm looking, we're not video, obviously, but I'm looking at these gorgeous portraits on your wall in your studio. Like they want that on their wall. Our whole process is set up to make that happen for them in an amazing, happy way to where everybody is happy. And when we ignore the red flags and we don't listen to our intuition and we doubt ourselves and we come from a place of fear, we let things in that not only don't allow us to make that person that we let in happy because they aren't a good fit, but just I think the most important thing that you said is that it actually compromises the other clients who actually do love us because we end up shoving them off because we're trying so hard to deal with this hard situation. So you can't make everybody happy. Recognize that and figure out first what is going to make you happy. How do you like to work? How are you your most creative? And then build your business around that and people, the clients that are willing, that want what you do. And then just every year, just make it, optimize it more and more and more for that.
Exactly.
Anything you want to add?
Well, just that the payoff to doing what you just said is things will just feel easy and effortless and like they're flowing. I mean, of course, it's always going to be hard work running a business, but there won't be that feeling of like pushing a boulder uphill with my clients. And it's its own reward. You know, the rewards, you'll be rewarded by making those decisions in your business more so than you would be making a few extra bucks taking on someone who's not your client.
For sure. For sure. And not just monetary rewards, but also just like loving, skipping to work, like loving to go to work and loving the people that you're working for. And when you're in their houses and hanging on their wall and they're, you know, hanging the art on their wall and they're just loving it. It's just, it's such a good, just such a good feeling. Such a good place to be.
That's what it's all about.
Then you're happy and they're happy. And then the other people that wouldn't have been happy with you are happy because they went somewhere else.
Yeah. They're happy with their perfect photographer for them.
I love it. You're the best. I appreciate you.
Love you.
Thanks for being here today. I hope that you've learned something useful that you can take away and make your business better than ever. And if you have, we would love for you to share this episode with another photographer that you think it would help. If you have a minute and could give us a review on the podcast, it would mean the world. Sharing and reviewing the podcast helps us reach a wider audience, and we want to help as many portrait photographers as we can to build better and better businesses. Sharing and reviewing the podcast helps this podcast reach a wider audience, and we want to help as many photographers as we can to build their best business yet. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
You can find more great resources from Allison at dothe rework.com and on Instagram at do.the.rework.